So anybody remember Hurricane Isabel or Gaston? And you remember those hurricanes that really kind of, they did a lot of damage, but around here too? Anybody lose power? Some people lost power for like a week, and we don't know what to do if we lose power, do we? I'm like the only one, right? Except for Joe. By the way, if you ever, this is an incredibly shameless plug, but if you ever want to prevent that from happening and be prepared for anything, talk to Joe after the service today. He can totally hook you up with all kinds of sweet solar devices. And you will never, ever have to worry about losing power. All right? Is that good? You got any business cards with you today? But when we lose power, we're lost. Like, we don't even know what to do anymore, do we? And especially when it starts drifting into the hours and days. And I know one of those storms, I know we were out for like a week. And anyway, it's amazing the baby boom after times like that. I don't know if it's a correlation, but I feel nothing to do anymore. But we are talking about light today and the fact that we walk in the light. So we're going to take a beer in 1 John, and we're going to pick up verse 5. But actually, one thing I want to do too, I want to have our young men, you guys be planning for this, okay? I want you all to start reading the scripture up here for us each week, okay? I'll give you a heads up on things, so we'll make sure it's easy, okay? I won't do it to you today. But speaking of that, youth starts tonight, so make sure. Youth starts back tonight, 6 o'clock, over in Mechanicsville at the bridge, partner with Anchor this year. All right, 1 John, verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him, meaning Christ, and proclaim to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. None. It's no darkness at all in God. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. I want you to think about for a second, what do you think of when you think of darkness? What's some words that come to mind when you think of darkness? Say louder. Satan? Yeah, that's a good right type of list. What else? What other words do you think of when you think of darkness? Sadness? Fear? Ignorance? Wow, good. Anxiety, separation. A lot of things we can think of when we think of the word darkness, right? You know, I mean, we have an entire, I don't know whether you would really call it a holiday, but it's become basically a holiday, right, that's centered around darkness, right? I mean, it's coming up then the next month, right? We celebrate Halloween, which ironically was originally, you know, All Hallows Eve and wasn't quite what it is now. But, you know, we celebrate darkness. Right? As societies, we almost celebrate darkness. And yet, darkness is full of unknown. There's so many things about the darkness that, we conjure in our minds that are so bad. But yet, it only takes what? A little light, and it changes everything. So John, who we shared last week, is probably in his 80s. Writing this letter, it's an epistle, it's what an epistle is, it's a letter. He's writing this letter to the church community in Ephesus where he's lived, which is a very pagan, very secular society, okay? The church there has been trying to penetrate this darkness that's all around there. And he's writing them both to confirm them and also to challenge them. And he's telling them that, look, what we've heard, we talked about last week, we need to share with others. He's saying, look, we have seen the risen Savior. We have seen Jesus. We have walked with Jesus. We have been eyewitnesses to miracles. And the greatest of all was the resurrection. John himself stood there at the cross, we talked last week, and he witnessed the very crucifixion of Jesus, and he was there to see the risen Savior. And he's saying what we have seen, what we have been made witnesses to, we now proclaim to you. So he's kind of echoing this same statement again in verse 5, that this message we have heard from him, being Christ, and proclaim to you that God is light. Remember the very beginning of Scripture is what? Genesis 1:1, right? And how does it start? What? in the beginning. And you notice how, and let's actually look at that because never a bad thing. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But notice this. The earth was without form and void. And anybody know what the next word is? Darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God, so we already see evidence of the Trinity there, right at the very beginning of Scripture. The Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And notice what he says in verse 3. And God said, let there be what? Light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. So he's echoing this same sentiment. If you go to John 1:1, he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning was God. He always has, always will be. No question about that. And he's saying that God is light, and in him is no darkness. So you think about all the things we mentioned that, about darkness, confusion, chaos. It can be scary, right? Who loves the dark? Don't raise your hand. Most people don't, right? The vast, vast majority of people do not enjoy darkness, right? Right? That's why the nightlight people are billionaires now, right? Because we don't like darkness. But in God, there is no darkness. And he's saying that when we walk with Christ, when we have a relationship with Christ, we are not going to want to walk in the darkness. And here, in many ways, darkness is equated with sin. Because, I don't know about you, but what happens when we do something we know we shouldn't do? Think back to when you're a kid. When you did something, if you're a kid, and you do something, what do you usually do? Feel guilty? Hide. You hide, right? If you've got a child, and something is, you know, done wrong in your house, there's something broken, more than likely, the kid's not staying next to it unless you happen to catch them in the act, right? They're hiding from you because we want to hide. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, when they broke that relationship with God because they did what God had specifically told them not to do, what did they do? They hid, right? They went and hid. And God is walking in the garden, okay? And what does he say? He says, Adam, what? Where are you? Now, he knew where he was, right? He knew where he was the whole time. But what he was doing, he was still, at that moment, we see the gospel being lived out that God, even at that moment, is calling out to Adam, saying, Adam, come to me. He knew where he was. And then God provides the covering for them. Because remember, they came out and what? They had covered themselves with fig leaves because they were what? Ashamed. Because they had sinned against God. And that's what we do. And darkness causes us to become ashamed. It causes us to cover up because in the darkness is where sin lies. And that's why, and you think of darkness, I mean, Satan is roaming around in the darkness because what happens when he's in the light? He's exposed, right? He's exposed in the light. Psalm 27:1 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? See, when we walk in the light, there's no need to have fear. We don't need to fear anything or anyone because God is light. And if God is light, and there's no darkness in him, then when we walk in fellowship with him, as he says here, then we won't have to worry about the darkness. It says in verse 6, if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie. Because it's saying that if we walk in darkness, it means that there's sin in our life. It means that there's things in our life that are actually separating us from the love of God. Now, he's writing this, okay, to the church. He's writing this to believers. So he's saying that as a believer, we still will fall into sin. Anyone else? We will fall into sin. We will sin. It doesn't mean we will not sin, but the goal in the, you know, the goal here is that over time, as we grow in Christ, that we sin less. We're not sinless, but that we will sin less. Like that fun play? But we want to grow so that hopefully, you know, there are, you know, anyone have pet sins? You can be honest, we're in church. If you don't, we're just lying in church. So we all have pet sins. We do. And what's interesting about it, we even have figured out ways to justify. And the funny thing is, we even coined that now. We call them justified sins. We've actually called things justified sins that we go, well, I haven't killed anyone. Or we list the big ones, and we have these little pet sins, though, that we know are still against a holy God. And what John is saying here is if we have fellowship with Christ, I mean, look, Think about it. This is your big brother. Jesus is our big brother. God is our Father. And He desires that we walk with Him, right? You ever had a, you know, you ever been part of a, had some buddies, you know, girls, guys, maybe during school days, college, and you were pretty much inseparable? Anybody had that? No, we got a lot of loners in the room, but anyone else, right? You had a group you hung with? Darius, you probably got all kinds of cool groups, don't you?
Yes, I
did. I know Glenn did. Glenn is like, I'll give you 20 bucks, you walk down the hall with me. But you're tight, right? I'm just kidding, that was uncalled for. You got a group, you're tight, you're with that group. But yet, what happens if you betray your friend? What happens if you, you know, start saying things about your friends? It's going to break that fellowship, right? He's not going to want to hang out with you. She's not going to want to be your friend, right? So God, John is saying here that, look, we've got this relationship with God the Father and Jesus. And if we walk in Him, then we're not going to be out here doing stupid stuff. We're going to be considering our actions. We're going to think about the decisions we make. We're going to always ask the question, is this a wise choice, right? How does this affect my relationship with God? By the way, if you do that with every decision you make, right, that was the whole WWJD movement, right? The whole WWJD thing was, you know, what would Jesus do? The question was raised, basically, what would, you know, you do if Jesus was here? And the reality is, He is. So we should always ask that question anytime we make decisions. We'll ask those if we're making major decisions, like, well, should we purchase this house? Should we do this, do that, right? But yet God is such a loving God that He wants us to even come to Him with little things, right? It's not like, should I buy Juicy Fruit or Big Red? He might have an interest, I don't know. But He wants but He wants us to have the kind of relationship that we come to Him with all kinds of things, that we're constantly communing with Him, we're constantly talking with Him. And when we are constantly walking with Him, then we're going to find that we're not going to be falling into sin. I don't know about you, but you ever heard the whole saying that, you know, if you go, you know, when you go one day without spending time with God, you know, if you go 2 days, others start to know, because it's going to start to become evident. The more time we spend apart from God, apart from His Word, it starts to become more evident in our life. Other people start to see it. So if we walk with Him, we will not walk with darkness. It says, but then we lie and do not practice the truth, because we start justifying what we do. Well, it doesn't really hurt anyone. It's not about anyone else, right? The problem is we constantly start things with us instead of starting with God, right? When we start with God, it changes the entire perception we have on everything we do. Every decision we make, every relationship we have, everything we do has to be run through that filter of, if God is truly the center of all that I am and all that I do, then I need to consider what this says about Him. And if we walk in the light, it says, as He is in life, we have fellowship with one another. I guarantee you this. The majority of conflict you will ever have in life, and it doesn't matter whether it's with a spouse, it could be with a boyfriend, a girlfriend, a parent, a brother, a sister, a neighbor, a work associate, doesn't matter. I guarantee you this, because He says this, if we have fellowship with one another, then if we focus on those relationships in Christ, we won't have those conflicts. The majority of conflicts we have is because our heart has something going on in it, and it's got to start with God. It's got to start with a relationship with God. We try to, you know, we get into an argument with our wife. I guarantee you that if you trace that back, there's some part of that where, because look, if you're spending time with the Lord, then the Holy Spirit is going to go, don't be stupid right now. Okay? The Holy Spirit is going to whisper in your ear and say, I really don't think saying what you're getting ready to say is really wise. So He's going to work, right? To help you, right? Because that's what He does. He's a comforter. He's a helper, right? If you are ticked off because work's going really bad, right? And you all of a sudden go, okay, if I'm growing in Christ and I'm spending time with Christ, He's going to go, I don't know if going and telling your boss off is really the wise move right now. And maybe you can have a conversation with him, but he's going to interfere in terms of giving us some guidance and direction. Because he wants us to stay in fellowship with who? Him. And when we, listen, if this relationship's off, these relationships will be off. You can fake your way. You can fake it a while, and you can think these things are good. But I'm telling you, this affects everything. This affects everything. So if we fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. All right, think about this. Anyone ever watch any of the crime shows on television? Right? What happens when someone is going to a crime scene? If you watch like Criminal Minds, CSI, those type shows, they go into a room and a crime scene, right? And they a lot of times will actually make the room dark and then turn on a light or have a light, or they have, you know, because what? Because the light exposes things, right? Light exposes things. That's why we like to sin in darkness, right? We like to sin in darkness because in some way we think we're hiding this. But when we're in the light exposes things. How many of you don't answer this? How many of you don't like cleaning your house and so you never open windows because what's the light do? Huh? I know. The light exposes the dirt, doesn't it? You ever had that light that glares through the window and all of a sudden you go, oh my goodness, that's disgusting. Yeah, I didn't have any idea that was that nasty. Light exposes things. So we try to hide things, right? And so what he's saying is, look, when we walk in light, when we walk with Christ, then our sin is going to be exposed more and more. That's why the Apostle Paul said, and I've said this before, but throughout his life, if you watch the transgression, the closer he got to the Lord, the more he realized how sinful he was. Because all of a sudden, he realized even little things that he didn't even think about 5, 10 years earlier, it didn't even cross his mind that these things would even be considered sinful. All of a sudden, he's going, oh my gosh, I am the chief of all sinners. Because he's realizing, look, it's not just, we categorize sin in such ways, we understand that all sin breaks the heart of God. All sin. You know, how we treat one another, how we treat people. Right? It's pretty easy to get frustrated. You ever drive down the road? You ever drive particularly through to, you know, north? If you drive north, that's, you know what? Great test of your faith. Great test of your faith. Because there's going to be people who are going to irritate you, right? Yeah. So think about, okay, how we can demonstrate Christ, how we can love this. Light exposes sin. So we need to walk in the light so that our sin becomes more evident in our lives so that we can then do what? Confess it. The Holy Spirit, part of the Holy Spirit's role is that it works in us so that it helps us to, you know hey, that's you, we need to go confess that to the Lord because that's breaking relationship. How many of you, know the most powerful words out there are what? I am sorry, right? You ever had your child, or maybe you can reflect back to this? But all these illustrations, now I do a lot with kids, but by the way, we were all kids at one time, so you really should be able to track with these, okay? Yeah, we, when you are, you do something you know you shouldn't have done as a child or if you have a child, but how does it change when you know your child is genuinely sorrowful and they come to you? Does that change the way that you react? You're like, I was going to wear you out. But when you see a genuine sorrowfulness, that's what repentance is. Repentance is genuinely being sorry for what you did, what you said. Lord, I know. I should not have said what I said. I should not have thought what I thought, right? I should not have done what I did. And when you confess that, it restores the relationship with God first, because if that's out of kilter, what did I say? These are going to be affected, right? You can only fake this but so long before all of it becomes very evident and the light will ultimately expose all of this. Let's look at a couple passages over in John real quick. Then I'm going to give you some, hopefully, a few practical things. In John 12, in the Gospel of John, verse 12, he says this. I'm going to start in verse 35. Let me do a few. He says, and this is Jesus, okay, speaking. He's verse 8. So Jesus said to them, "The light is among you for a little while longer." Now he was referring to that he was physically with the disciples. "The light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he's going." You ever try to find your way in the darkness? I actually abhor these things. But like even out at Liberty, they do this thing called Scare Mare every year. I mean, I love it. You know, we have Christian haunted houses, right? I mean, the whole premise is they show you different scenes, and their whole thing is at the end they're going to present the gospel. But part of it is these insane mazes you go through that are pitch black, and walls get smaller and smaller. And I don't. It's just. I mean, I hate it. I hate it. Right? I actually won't do it anymore. I did that when I was. But, look, it says, the one who walks in the darkness does not know where he's going. Why do you not like those things? Why don't I like those things? Because I don't know where I'm going. I don't know how long this thing is. I don't know if someone's going to try to yell or scream or whatever. So it says, while you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. All right? And then he goes further down there in verse 46. He says, I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. There's over 125 references to light in Scripture. John 8 says, and this is the verse we says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of light. So we need to walk in the light, and we need to understand what happens, because light exposes us for who we are. And then to renew that relationship, we need to confess it. I'm going to do one more verse here, and then we'll give you some things. Look at Revelation. Go right to the end. Revelation 21. This is a great passage. The whole thing is worth reading through. Revelation 21, 22 says, and this is again John, the same author. Okay, he's writing this prophetic book about the end times when Christ comes for the second coming, the second advent, that he restores his rightful kingdom on earth. Remember, in the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. I mean, and so this whole passage, he gives us the whole thing about the new heaven and new earth. But he says this, and John says, I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. So its lamp is Jesus, right? By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory unto it. Remember, Jesus said that he was what? King of kings, Lord of lords. So even kings will come and bow to Jesus. And its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. They will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations, but nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. And there's some more you can read about in chapter 22. It says, verse 5, and night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. So, I mean, there's going to be a time that all darkness will be completely vanquished. All darkness will be gone. There'll be no darkness because Jesus will come a second time, and this will become the second coming, that he comes and dwells among us forever for all those who place their faith and trust in him. And there will no longer be any further in that passage. Talks, there's going to be no death. There's no disease. There's no hurt. There's no pain. There's nothing, because Jesus will be all in all. So let me give you a couple practical things here real quick. How can we be light then? If we're called to be light, and he says in this passage that if we are light, then we have fellowship with him. But if we don't, then we walk in darkness. One, think about all your relationships, okay? How do we be light in our relationships? Think about in your marriage. How can you be light in a marriage? Well, you serve one another, right? You're willing to sacrifice for each other, which means your needs should always be last. I mean, what happens when we put our needs last? So when we serve each other, we're willing to sacrifice, and that we're also willing to show forgiveness. We forget this. Guys, we forget this a lot, and I will say this a lot. But understand, as the spiritual leader of your house, you are to be serving as prophet, priest, and king in your house, which means, first and foremost, you take on the sin of your house. Jesus did nothing, right? Jesus never sinned, yet he took on our sin, right? You're responsible even for your spouse. You're responsible for your child. You're responsible, okay? There will be a day, and look, your wife is ultimately still going to be held accountable, right, for her actions, but you're responsible because you should be leading her. You should be loving and sacrificing and serving. With your kids, you are going to be accountable. By the way, that same passage over in Revelation, you read it through, it talks about the fact that everything is going to be broadcast, right? We're going to be held accountable for what we do. Are we leading our children to the Lord? Are we helping them grow? What are the things we do? Single people. Are you, in your relationships, are you seeking that by doing that now? If you are seeking in a future husband and wife, someone who loves the Lord, someone who is in love with God, are you doing that yourself? Are you committed to righteousness? Are you committed to walking with Christ? Are you making yourself to be presentable to a future spouse? Right? You can't expect God to send you somebody if you're not already willing to do it yourself, right? If you're not living for him, if you're not living in purity, then don't expect God to send you someone who is, right? You need to practice purity. By the way, everybody needs to consider what purity really comes down to, right? We all need, right? Jesus tells us in the Sermon on the Mount, you know, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall inherit the kingdom of heaven. So we all need to consider purity. Young men, consider now. Young ladies, now. Do the things you hope that your future spouse is going to be doing the thing, right? It's what you do now. Josh McDowell, you say this all the time. If you want to marry a queen, then act like a king, right? If you want to marry a king one day, then act like a queen, right? And for you young men, I'd say prince and princesses, right? If you want to meet a princess, act like a prince, right? You ever see all these, you know, movies with prince and princesses in it? I mean, I know you got all of them, don't you? Yeah, I was making sure he's listening. But if you want to marry a princess, you got to live like a prince. So, same thing. Ladies, you want a prince one day? Act like a princess. So those are ways that we can live as light. Because listen, here's what's going to stand out about that is the world's not doing that, right? The world's telling us completely different than that. But if we want to be light, then live differently so that people stop and notice. Because people are going to notice that there's something different about you. How come you're not out here chasing every girl in school? Well, for starters, because I love the Lord, and that's the most important thing. And I want to have a godly wife one day. You know? I love that, so I can do it. But we have to consider our actions now. Think about our friends, right? Think about your friends. How do we treat one another? Are we quick to forgive? Which, by the way, that ties into everything, right? Whether it's a spouse, a friend, a neighbor, anybody. Are we quick to forgive? Okay? By the way, forgiveness is not bringing it up every other day. You haven't really forgiven them if you bring it up every other day. Well, you know, I still, you know. That you haven't forgiven anybody, right? Forgiveness, and I'm not saying forgiveness is complete forgetfulness, okay? But if you're going to bring it up all the time, then it's clearly something that's still an issue in your heart that you need to work through, right? Forgiveness, though, is saying, look, I understand that, you know, what you did hurt me, but I forgive you. And more than likely, we probably had parts to play in some of those things. Not in every case, but quite often it is the case. Think about work. You know, do you go the extra mile? How can you be light? By not being the lamest, slackest person in the job force, right? I mean, if you're being the light, then there should be something that separates the way you work from everyone else, right? You shouldn't be taking the longest smoke break. Just kidding. I don't think you should be smoking at all. I just seem to think that's just me, because I just don't know why you want to put an ashtray in your mouth, but that's beside the point. But you should be considering how you work. Are you a hard worker, you know? Or are you just doing what you can to get a paycheck each week, right? By the way, if you want God to honor that, then it says, the Bible tells it, go the extra mile, right? Do little things that maybe help a work associate out. Don't do it so you get credit. Do it so that God sees your work, right? That's what he says, so that God sees your work. And then you know what? That job may never take you somewhere, but why is God going to ever open a door for you when you're too lax and lazy at the one you're doing? You think he's going to give you a better job? How do you treat the people around you? Do you treat them with respect? Do you show them care? If there are, like what you just did, right? I mean, I know, you know, but no, I know you don't care. But like this morning, you stopped by work and brought them a bunch of food. There just was no one there. They were all out, right? You know, it's probably because you told them they had to work overnight tonight too, but I'm just kidding. No, you didn't do that. But I mean, it's little things, because what? It's not big things. It's just little things, right, that we can do to show those that we work around, hey, there's something different about you. Think about your neighbors, right? What if you have horrible neighbors? I don't want you to raise your hand, but I mean, think about it. Have you ever had horrible neighbors? And it's just, well, how is it going to change? Well, it's going to change by little things, right? Maybe you need to serve them. You know, they don't take care of things. Well, what can you do that actually helps them see, man, why are you doing that? We're horrible neighbors to you. We stay up all night. We throw beer cans in your yard. You didn't even realize we spray painted your garage last year. I mean, all these things we do. Why are you still nice to us? Why do you, you know, why come when our kid was sick, why did you offer to help watch your other kid? How come when my wife was sick, you actually brought us her meal? Why do you do those things? What an opportunity. That's how you become light, right? By the way, those folks, you're going to eventually, I'm telling you, it's going to crack, right? The light is going to eventually break through that darkness, and you're going to see people want to start, you know, why are you the way you are? Why do you care? And they're going to go, because we're not really that nice to you. So look at the things you can do. And like I said before, consider confession. We need to consider, you know, we be light. Well, the only way we can really be light, because remember, the fact that we're light means that we're reflecting the actual light of Christ, right? He said, I am the light of the world. And then he said, you are the light of the world. So if we're going to be the light of the world, it means that his light has to reflect on us. But the only way it can reflect on us is if we are confessed up, if we are coming to him in genuine confession, confessing our sins. And the Bible tells us to confess your sins one to another as well. First, whatever this is, it's vertical, right? Let's get these things backwards. First, it's vertical confession, but then there's also horizontal confession, okay? When we confess our sins, he tells us what? He is faithful and just to forgive us. He doesn't hang it over your head. Now, there is one who will. The enemy will remind you of those things because he's trying to keep you defeated. He wants you to stay in the darkness. He doesn't want the light to be exposed, right? There's this great clip at the end of this movie. I remember these movies called The Omega Code, and they're apocalyptic films, and you know, but there is this end part that's really cool, the second one, and it's Satan is there and the Christ figure's there, and all of a sudden Satan is standing there, and just the light, which is Christ, right, just pierces through the heavens, and it destroys him, and he just goes down to one knee and he shouts the name of Jesus, because Philippians tells us that every knee shall bow, and that includes Satan. He bows to Jesus. Jesus bows to no one. So the light exposes Satan for who he is. And when we confess our sins, you want to talk, well, look, God knows we're going to sin, right? That's why he sent us a Savior. He knew we couldn't do it on our own. That's why he sent us his son Jesus to do what we could not do, to live a perfect life, to die the death in our place for our sins, so that we, by placing our faith in him, could live righteous. That's what he says in 2 Corinthians. We're a new creation in Christ, right? The old is past, the new has come. So when he sees us, he sees Christ has like placed his righteousness on us. He sees the Son when he sees you. He no longer sees our filthiness. He sees the Son. And that should drive us to continual repentance and confession. Hebrews 9:22 says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. apart from the work of Christ, there is no forgiveness. And we can't lie about it. We have to be honest and come to him in humility. I know a lot of you read Dostoevsky, so I thought I'd read a quote from it. This is in The Brothers Karamazov, or whatever it's called. Keith can correct me later. The one who lies to himself and believes his own lies comes to a point where he can distinguish no truth either within himself or around him, and thus enters into a state of disrespect towards himself and others. Respecting no one, he loves no one, and to amuse and divert himself in the absence of love, he gives himself up to his passion and his vulgar delights and becomes a complete animal in his vices, and all of it from lying to other people and himself. Starts with lying to yourself. When we lie to ourselves, we're going to lie to others. And that's what he says. If we lie and do not practice the truth, then we are actually in the darkness. So think about those things that we can do. And I want to give you this card. And I want you to think about this week. Hey, y'all pass these out to everybody. I don't know if there's enough for everybody, so you might have to do one per couple and then individual. So here's the question I want you to think about, okay? I want you to think about this question. It says, are we the church you would want to invite people to? Are we the church you would want to invite people to? Now, and before you start writing 15 things down that you think is wrong with the church, look at the next part. If not, what could I do to help change it? That doesn't mean criticize it. What can you do? Well, I don't like this. Well, how do you help with it? I don't like the way the chairs are set up. They're not comfortable. Well, make cushions and bring them in. I don't mean, you know? What can you do to help change it, right? So think about that. Because we've shared this before. The church is the bride of Christ. She's the bride of Christ. She's not our bride. She will be presented in her glory. Read through that end of Revelation. It talks about how the church is adorned, beautiful, and how she is presented to Christ. We're the church collectively, okay? How do we demonstrate that more? And that's by being the light. So I want you to think about that over the next few days, next week. Put it on your refrigerator. Think about things you can do, right? Life groups are starting back up. How can you use that to be the light, right? Those of you that are opening your homes, that's part of it, right? You're being the light to your community. You're saying, hey, we're going to talk about, you know, godly things here. We're doing this great series that's going to help, I think, everybody, whether you're a new Christian, whether you've been a Christian for 20 years or 40 years, it doesn't matter. Whether you're young or old, it doesn't matter. It's going to be a help to you. But who can you bring along to be a part of that? C.T. Studd, the great British missionary. C.T. Studd was an amazing athlete, one of the great athletes Great Britain's ever produced. The guy was also from an incredibly wealthy family. Literally had the whole silver spoon in the mouth thing. But he rejected all of it because he saw the lostness in the world, because he saw the desperate need there was for the light of Jesus. And he had this great statement, and I want you to think about this as we get ready to pray in a minute. It says, some want to live within the sound of the church or the chapel bells. I would rather run a rescue mission within a yard of hell. It says, a lot of people would rather live down the street from the church, live right next to the church. He goes, no, I want to live within a yard of the gates of hell, because guess what? There are people dying without Jesus. And they're all around us every day. And I want to at least be there to share the truth of God's love with them, right? He can't save them. We can't save them. But he wanted to make sure they heard this truth. And he lived his life that way. And I encourage you, a great story. Read his book. So, we're going to pray, but I want you to think about a couple things today. One, we're going to have prayer partners come up here after I pray when the worship team comes up. Excuse me. And if you are sitting here today and you know, the first thing you need to do is get your relationship right with Christ. I'm encouraging you, come up and pray with folks. We already talked about confession. You know, confession does the heart good. It really does. Come up. Look, they're not here to talk about you. They just want to pray with you. That's all it is. But if you know that first thing you need to talk to them about salvation. I don't understand this. I know I need Christ. Come talk to them so they can pray with you. They can encourage you. They can get you connected, all those things. If you want to just know more about what it is to walk with Christ, hey, I've been a Christian, but I'm struggling. Come up and get them to pray with you, right? And maybe they can help point you in the right direction. It's just a time that we can come together. And by the way, it is an incredible unifying thing, right? When churches pray together. Because unfortunately, a lot of families don't even pray together. But when churches and families pray together, it just absolutely ticks off the devil, right? Because it is a weapon we have that we seldomly use. So I'm going to encourage you at this time. I'm going to pray. Prayer partners can be up here. Worship teams can come lead. Offering baskets are up here on the speakers. After we finish up our worship set today, if you can help us, we're just going to move some chairs out the way real quick, get a few tables down so that as we're cleaning up and setting up, stay for lunch. Hear about it. I promise you, you're going to be out of here quick. I'm trying to do my best, okay? You're going to get out of here as quick as we can. We're not trying to keep you long, but we want you part of community where you can grow as the body and be an encouragement to each other. Father, I just thank you for just being such an amazing Father, that God, you refuse to leave us where we are, that God, you desire for us to have such a relationship with you that, Father, it affects everything we do, that as our relationship with you grows and gets deeper and stronger, that, Father, it affects all those, not just those closest to us, but even those farther away, that they start to see that effect, that they see the way we interact, the way we treat people. Father, they see the way we love people, see the way we care for people. So, Father, I pray today that, God, just as this passage talks about being in the light, that, Father, we will walk in the light, because sin is not in the light. It's in the darkness, Father, because the light will expose it to the point where we will confess it so that we can grow. So, Father, I pray for each one here. I pray for anyone here that does not know you, that, God, your light would just illuminate their heart, that they would respond to you. And I pray for the rest of us, Father, that we would be your church and that we would be so in love with you that we can't help but tell others about what you have done for us. So, Father, we thank you. We praise you. We lift your holy name. Father, your word is declared that if Jesus be lifted high, that you will draw all men, women, and children to yourself. So, Father, I pray this in the mighty, awesome name of Jesus Christ. Amen.